A Nigerian opposition group says the military government is carrying out a new crackdown against activists from the oil-rich Ogoni region. Government officials deny that dissidents are being arrested. Writer Ken Sarowiwa and 8 other activists from Ogoniland were executed last year. Since then, Nigeria has been shunned by the world, and the country is falling apart on every front. It's a far cry from the 1970s, when Nigeria's universities were world-renowned, its culture and art were revered, and its economy was booming thanks to billions in oil revenues. NPR's Michael Scholar visited Nigeria to explore life under military rule.
In Lagos, a city of nearly 10 million, you can't count on power, telephones, or water. The roads haven't been repaired in a dozen years. You can't even count on the national currency, the Naira. Its value has been sinking steadily. And you certainly can't count on the government to act fairly. In crowded downtown Lagos, there's an empty stretch of land that until recently was filled with small shops, hundreds of them. Yunus Asanin repaired and sold watches here. Now his stall is just rubble. He ducks into the plywood shack of a parking lot attendant to talk out of sight.
If it is outside, I cannot free to talk like this. Later on, I will be in trouble.
Who would come?
The CID may come.
The CID, he says, Nigeria's secret police. Sanin tells how he built his stall years ago and has been paying rent every month to the state government. Then in May, a fire broke out in some nearby stalls, damaging the concrete supports of an elevated highway. Within days, soldiers arrived with tear gas and horse whips to chase off the shopkeepers, while bulldozers smashed stalls as far as half a football field away from the highway. A legal aid group offered to help shopkeepers sue the government, but no one came forward. Sanin says the military would only punish people even more.
We are in trouble. We move from one problem to another problem.
He says Nigerians are in trouble, moving from problem to problem and struggling. Police arrest you for no reason, he says. He prays some foreign country will help drive out the military rulers.
Nobody happy for this reason.
The University of Lagos used to be one of the finest on the continent, and its campus is still majestic, even if its buildings need plaster, paint, and windows. In this dorm, rooms built for 2 can house up to 7 students. I asked Dele Ashiru, the president of the student union, when he will get his BA.
I don't know, I can't say. I'm in my final year, but this is my 5th year, and now the lecturers are on strike again.
Professors go on strike all the time, he says, demanding basic supplies and enough salary to live on. Ashiru doesn't blame them. He says he took a computer science course with 70 others, and the class had just one computer.
That's what the government provides. And what do you do?
This class was to teach you to use a computer, right?
Yes.
But you never actually worked on the computer?
No.
So what did you learn?
Well, just that a computer exists, and that we can see it. I think that's all we learned.
Ashiru blames the military government for squandering and stealing public money that could be spent on education. He helped organize a protest a few years ago on campus and was arrested. Few protests happen these days. The military regime doesn't hesitate to send soldiers to break up demonstrations and meetings, and it punishes its opponents with a vengeance, says Nike Ransom Kuti, a lawyer whose father is in prison.
He's kept in a small cell that's roughly 3.5 feet by 7 feet. He's given a mattress to put on the floor, and he has to stay in that room for 23 hours of the day. He's not allowed visitors except in the company of at least 3 other officers of the prison.
And she can only see her father once a month. Her father's crime, she says, was faxing a document abroad. It was the defense statement of a government critic accused of treason. Because of that fax, her father was sentenced to 15 years in prison. Hundreds of other critics, journalists, lawyers, former generals, are also in jail. Some, like environmental activist Ken Sarowiwa, are executed. Ransom Kuti's sadness sometimes breaks into anger and frustration.
Frustration at the fact that people can do this and get away with it and nothing comes out of it.
Why aren't you afraid to talk to me?
I'm just not afraid. I don't know. You can't just keep quiet and let things go on.
Military rule in Nigeria has been going on, though, for 26 of the last 36 years. And one reason is that Nigeria has more than 200 ethnic groups and few civilian politicians capable of uniting them. The military rulers, on the other hand, have skillfully handed out government positions and favors to buy off ethnic support, according to Reverend Father Matthew Kuka. Kuka, head of Nigeria's Catholic Bishops' Conference, says many hate the government, but they see their ethnic leader in it and think,
well, he may be a son of a bitch, but he's our son of a bitch. I think the military understands these sentiments.
Yet Kuka thinks the strategy is now falling apart along with the country. Too many people, he says, are angry that nothing, from roads to schools to farms and factories, works anymore. Nigeria's rulers, hoping to keep the nation quiet, are once again promising to restore democracy, though not for two more years. Never mind that the last military government spent a decade getting ready for democracy and then annulled its own presidential elections when the wrong man won. Now there is a new military ruler, General Sani Abacha, and a new plan. A few months ago, Abacha repealed the ban on political parties as a step toward elections in 1998. At the offices of the People's Progressive Party in Lagos, party chairman Moses Adasu motions toward piles of papers stacked along the wall.
Various states. You can see here, this is coming from Abia State. This is coming from Jigawa in the north. We have Delta. We have.
The piles are membership lists. To be legal, parties must open offices throughout the country, sign up at least 1.2 million members, and issue everyone with photo IDs. And the government gave them less than 2 months to do it.
No party or association can fulfill the requirements. They're impossible.
Chukwuemeka Ezeife is the People's Progressive Party secretary.
If anybody meets the requirement, it's fraudulent.
Still, Ezeife says his party is trying its best. When the deadline came recently, his party and 17 others filed their papers. But many of Nigeria's democracy activists didn't bother to get involved. They don't believe for a moment the military government will give up power. Lawyer Ransom Kuti says General Abacha is acting just like the last leader, who also allowed opposition parties for a time.
And at the end of the day, he just disqualified everyone, all the parties, and, you know, decided that there'd be only two parties at the end of the day, and everyone who'd run around and wasted all the time had to fit into those parties. And after that, they'd have, you know, primaries and so on, and then he would disqualify everyone that had gone through the process. I mean, he did that 3 times.
Foreign governments do not have much confidence in Abacha either. The U.S., Europe, and others tightened sanctions on Nigeria after Ken Saro-Wiwa was killed. The Commonwealth of Former British Colonies voted to suspend Nigeria for 2 years. All criticized the military's transition plan as too slow, but none is willing to take the uncomfortable steps that might force Abacha out, like an embargo on Nigerian oil. Gerald Olson, until recently Canada's acting high commissioner in Lagos, worries the world will not act until it's too late.
The crisis in Nigeria is pending. It's not immediate. There's no measurable violence in the street. We have not seen Nigeria on CNN.
But it may only be a matter of time, says Tunji Abayomi, a Nigerian lawyer, before the world does see his country on CNN. Abayomi just spent 11 months in jail, though he was never charged with a crime. He says even the secret police agents who held him are fed up with the government.
They talk about their sufferings. They cannot feed their children. They talk about corruption in government. They even talk about corruption within their own system and how they are victims of such corruption. They talk about how they hated what they are compelled to do to us when we are fighting for them and their children. Go to the military, go to the civilians, talk to the people. Those who are bold enough to speak frankly will tell you the dynamics for change can no longer be resisted in this country.
And he, like many Nigerians these days, quotes John F. Kennedy, who said, "Those who make peaceful revolution impossible will make violent revolution inevitable." This is Michael Scholar.